Parshas Yisroi, a very famous pasuk in Perek Yutes, pasuk Hey. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Klal Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah, Va'asa anau im shamaya tishmu v'koyni, if you will listen to my voice, Kushmartem es brisi, and you will guard the bris. We'll discuss in a moment which bris this is referring to. V'hiyisem li sgula mikol ho'amim. Then you will be the treasured nation. You'll be for me the treasures of all nations, kili kol haaretz, because the entire world is mine. On those words, v'hiyisem li segula, and you shall be for me a treasured nation. You shall be for me a treasure. The Mechilta says the following words, which need explanation, and the Beis Halevi explains them for us. The Mechiltim says, V'hiyisem li segula, you shall be for me a treasured nation. Mechiltim says the following five words. Shetiyu kenuyim li, you shall be acquired to me. V'oiskin batayra, and you will delve, you will learn Torah. Again, Shetiyu kenuyim li, you will be acquired, kinyan, from the Lashon of kinyan, you will become mine, I will, as it were, own you, you will become mine, v'oiskin v'teira, and you will learn teira. So, what do those words mean? What does that mean exactly, you will become mine, and you will learn teira? What is the connection, what does it mean, how is that translation of this pasuk at all? So the Beis HaLevi says very beautifully, if you go back to that original pasuk, the Torah talks about two separate things. Tishmu'u b'koyli, you will listen to my voice, u'shamartem es brisi, and you will safeguard my covenant, the bris. Says the Beis HaLevi, those two instructions are referring to Torah shebichtav and Torah shebaal peh. Torah shebaal peh is always referred to as the bris. Chazal tell us that the real covenant forged between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on the Torah Shebaal Peh, not on the Torah Shebichtav. The Torah Shebaal Peh, for reasons that we've discussed on other occasions, that's where you need real hard effort and amelus, and that's where real Avas HaTorah and Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shown. But that's what Chazal tell us, it's the Gemara in Gittin, Lo Yikoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris in Bnei Yisrael, Elo Torah Shebaal Peh. So, Tishmu'u b'koyli, you shall listen to my voice. What's the voice of Hashem? The words that Hashem said. That's the Torah, Torah Shebichtav. U'shmartem es brisi is referring to Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, what is the main difference? Obviously, there are several. But what is the main difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebichtav is absolutely finite. Cannot be added to, cannot be changed, cannot be subtracted for, as we all know, a Sefer Torah which has one yud missing is Apostle Sefer Torah, and it's an extra yud, it's also Apostle Sefer Torah. The letters, the words, the sentences, the psukim, the parashas, everything in Torah Shebichtav can never and must never ever be changed. It's an absolute, finite, defined Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh is the exact opposite. Torah Shebaal Peh is infinite. From the time that the Torah was given to us, up till and including today and tomorrow, Torah Shebaal Peh is continuously being written. Chidushei Torah, new halachas, which are obviously based on what comes before it. Nobody is chas v'shalom going to invent a new mitzvah. But it's all based, obviously, on Torah Shebichtav. But we're not adding to Torah Shebichtav. That is the chidushim and the pilpulim of what we call Torah Shebaal Peh, which is, of course, our main limud, learning Gemara, learning Mishnayos, etc., etc. So Torah Shebaal Peh is neither finite or defined. You cannot put Torah Shebaal Peh in a box. You could put Torah Shebichtav in a box. In fact, this paper is the entire Torah Shebichtav, this Chumash. Torah Shebaal Peh, you can have the biggest computer in the world, whatever it is, will not be able to contain Torah Shebaal Peh, not just because of its enormous size, because it's infinite, and it's undefined, it's continuously being written. So here comes the question. Klal Yisrael are offered the Torah and they accept. Yes, we are accepting too. Keep Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh, everything that entails in accepting the Torah, we're for it. Says the Beis Halevi, I don't understand. The Rambam says that you can never acquire or obligate yourself to do something which is undefined and infinite. No such thing. I can say to you, please, would you paint my house? Fine, I'll paint my house. And I'm mechuyev to do it. If I do the necessary kinyonim, I have to do it. That's a defined, finite requirement. If I say to you, can you paint 10 houses? 10 houses, 1,000 houses, 1,000,000 houses, fine, but that's defined and it's finite. Can I say to you, would you be mischayev? Would you be willing to obligate yourself to do anything I ever ask you? Yeah, no problem, I'll do a kinyan. Says the Rambam, no such thing. It can't take effect, because what's it taking effect on? On what? It's something which is undefined, has no limit, no definition. There's no kinyan, there's no obligation like that. Do you want to do 1,000 things, list them out, tell me the 1,000 things, and I can be mischayev. But can you please be mischayev to do whatever I asked you? No such thing. So how could Torah, how could Klal Yisrael accept to keep Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh is undefined. Torah Shebaal Peh is infinite. We accept to do anything that's written in Torah Shebaal Peh. What is it? I don't know. Some of it hasn't even been written yet, hasn't been established, it's undefined, it's infinite. So how did we accept? Says the Beis Halevi in his genius pshat. There is one way that you can obligate yourself to do anything that's asked of you. And that is, if you become that person's Eved. So then, once I'm your Eved, obviously I'm obligated to do everything you ask me to do. Why? Because that's the job of an Eved. I'm yours. I'm your property. And with your property, you can do whatever you like. So that when I obligate myself to become yours, that's finite. Why then afterwards do I have to wash your floor and paint your house and make your lunch and anything else you ask me because you obligated yourself to do that? No. Do you know why you're obligated to do it? Because you're an effort. Because you're owned by the master. That you can obligate yourself. So that ultimately, whenever he asks me to do something, I have to do it. It's not because I initially committed myself to do A, B, C, D, E, F, 1,000,000 jobs. No, you can't do that. I committed myself to one defined job, and that is to be your Eved, to be yours. And if I'm yours, you can do whatever you want with me. Says the Beis Halevi, that's what the Mechilta means. How did we obligate ourselves to Mekayim all of Torah Shebaal Peh? It's infinite! It's undefined! The answer is, as the Mechilta says, Shetiyem Knuyim Li. You're going to be acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, what are the next words? Vaiskin Bateya. Beautiful pshat of the Beis Halevi. The only way that we can be required to be Isaac Bateya, i.e. in Torah Shebaal Peh, is if first there's a preliminary stage, and that is Shatiyu Knuyim Li. You become HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what in fact did we obligate ourselves to do at Matan Torah? Not to keep every facet of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's too big, it's undefined, it's infinite. What did we define ourselves? What did we commit ourselves to becoming? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'yisem Li Segula means Shatiyu Knuyim Li, you should be acquired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are now HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, by the way, a one-line addition to this. Goyim also have mitzvahs. They have mitzvahs. Shalom mitzvahs b'nei Noach. The difference is, they never became, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. They are keeping those mitzvahs because they committed themselves to keep those mitzvahs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Shalom mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Our mitzvahs that we keep, including Torah Shebaal Peh, it's not because we committed ourselves to doing those mitzvahs specifically, but rather we committed ourselves to becoming a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now read the Psukim. Ve'yisem li segula. You will become mine. That way you can commit yourself. That's the bris of Torah Shebaal Peh. Segula mikol ho'amim. that now will set you apart from all other nations. All other nations, maybe they also have some mitzvahs, but they didn't become mine, as it were. They didn't become my nation. Ad kan divrei habeis halevi. So it just occurred to me, I mentioned this in the Kriyas HaTorah shiur this morning, when we make a bracha, Asher kiddushanu mitzvah v'tzivanu la'asoik v'divrei seira. This is, by the way, an addition. I didn't mention this morning. What is that? A bracha on what? Which bracha? Teresh v'chtav or Teresh v'al peh? V'chayr in Teresh v'al peh. Eitzek ha-Teresh, toiling in Teresh, is not in Teresh v'chtav, it's in Teresh v'al peh. How does that bracha continue? Boruch ato Hashem ha-melameid Teresh la'amoy Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the word teaches Torah to his nation Yisrael. Why must it mention that they're his nation? Why can't it just say Hamalamid Torah LeYisrael? Teaches Torah to Yisrael. But according to Beis Halevi, it's very beautiful. That's not enough. We're making a bracha. What are you making a bracha on? I'm making a bracha that I'm Mukhayyib in Torah. Why am I Mukhayyib in Torah? How can I commit myself to such a colossal, undefined, infinite obligation? The answer is, because I became HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, we are Amoy Yisrael. I became his nation. That way I can commit myself to learning even Teresh Baal Peh. And another addition, perhaps, is if you look back in Parshas Vo'era, so we remember the four Lashonos of Geula, Vo'itesi, Vekoalti, and then it says in Perek Vov, Posuk Zayin, V'lokachti eschem li la'om, and I will take you for a nation. You know what the Ebenezer says on those words? V'lokachti, when will I take you as a nation? Ka'asher tekablu es ha'teiro, when you makabal the teiro. And the Malbim says the same. According to Beis Halevi, it's very beautiful. That's exactly when we became a Kadosh Baruch Hu's nation. In fact, we had to become his nation. Because if we wouldn't have become his nation, and we're merely just obligating ourselves to keep all of the Torah, an obligation like that can take no effect, as the Rambam says. So, v'lokachtem li la'om, v'lokachtem eschem li la'om, I will take you as a nation, you will become mine, and by definition, that's the way that you can obligate yourself to keep all of Torah Shabbat.
What happened
with
the Nasa
Benishma?
Wasn't that before
you were taking the Benishma? The Nasa V'Nishma, the Medrashon Chumash says, was only going on Teresh B'Chtav. At a later stage, when the mountain was dangled upon the head, this is a famous question, by the way. Tosfos asked the question, why do you need to be forced into it? Mountain dangled on there. They already said Nasa V'Nishma. Tosfos Kasha. The Medrash says, they said Nasa V'Nishma on Teresh B'Chtav. They were more than happy Teresh B'Chtav. It's one book, 500 pages, art scroll, very, very easy. Teresh B'Chtav, oh, that's a very different story. They weren't so happy to keep that. That they needed to be forced into it. And according to Beis Halevi, that's when they became HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. At the end of the Aseres HaDibros, we have the famous pasuk, the final and tenth of the Aseres HaDibros. Loi sachmoid beis reyecho, loi sachmoid eishet reyecho, v'avdoi, v'amosoi, v'shoiroi, v'chamoiroi, v'choyla shel reyecho. Do not be jealous or do not covet the house, the wife, the slave, the maidservant, the ox, the donkey, or anything that belongs to your friend. Do not covet it. So we have the world famous question by the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra asks a very, very famous question. How can there possibly be such a mitzvah? If you covet something, that's a feeling that you have. How can you be instructed not to feel something? It's a natural tendency to covet something. And if you feel it, you feel it. And if you actually don't feel it, then you don't feel it. But how can I instruct somebody not to feel something? I can instruct somebody, shake a lulav. I can instruct somebody, don't eat chazir. That's a defined action. Shake the lulav, don't eat chazir. You might want to, you might not want to. This is what you must do, this is what you must not do. But a feeling, how can I instruct you to feel something? Imagine I would cut somebody's finger off and say, it's awesome for you to feel pain. I instruct you not to feel pain. What do you mean? It's a natural reaction. You cut somebody's finger off, it hurts, he's going to feel pain. If somebody sees Beis Reyecho, Eishes Reyecho, Avdei Vamosa, and he covers it. That's a natural feeling. Looks very, very enticing. I want to have some of this as well. You mustn't feel that way. How can you instruct somebody not to feel something? That's Ebenezer's famous passion. So obviously, and we'll see in a moment, there's perhaps different approaches in this. Obviously, lo sachvayit can't mean don't feel it. It obviously must refer to some preliminary stage that you have to work on yourself so that you will not feel it. So going back to our moshul, if I say to you, you know what, you're going to have your finger cut off, don't feel pain. What does that really mean, don't feel pain? It's a natural reaction. Obviously I mean is, I want you to do something now such that you won't feel pain. Take anesthetic. Ah, if you take anesthetic, then you won't feel pain. So what I really mean is, when I say to you, don't feel pain, I can't tell you not to feel something, that's a natural reaction. Obviously I'm requiring you to do something that will mean that you won't after that feel pain. So what can we do not to covet? Loi sachma is a very, very difficult mitzvah, difficult aveira to be mekayim. That's the Eben Ezra's kasha. So the Eben Ezra gives an equally famous moshel. A very, very short, simple moshel, and those are always the best mosholim. Ish Kafri. What's an Ish Kafri? A simple villager. You have your peasant farmer, who is illiterate, he's uncultured, he's uneducated, simple, poor. Says the Eben Ezra, imagine that uncultured Kafri sees the Bas Melech, sees a princess, Shehi Yofa, very enticing to him. Lo Yachmoid Oiso Beliboy. He will never covet her. Why will he not covet her? Ki Yoideya Ki Zelo Yitochein. You will not covet something you know that's impossible for you to attain. It's beyond your sphere of influence. It's not within your Daladamas at all. You covet something which perhaps I can get a piece of. But when the lowly farmer sees the princess, there's no coveting. You know that you will never, ever, 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 ever marry that princess. It's not within your sphere of influence at all. It has no shaykhas to you. Says the Eben Ezra, that's the avoida of Lei Sachmeid. Kol maskil tzorech shiyeda. Isha, yofa, oy momoin. Whatever it is that you're coveting, rak kasher chilek loy Hashem. If it's somebody else's, then it's somebody else's. It has no shaykhus to you. You should view something else, somebody else's property, whether it's their wife or their house or their maidservant or their shoyr or chamoyr, whatever it is, like the villager looks at the princess. It has no shaykhus to me. No connection to whatsoever. That is. Va'achar sheyeda she'eshet re'eyu ostra Hashem loy. Once you fully understand that Eshetri'eyu, somebody else's wife, is offered to you, then that becomes completely removed. That becomes like the princess to the villager. And to the contrary, he says, Yismach b'chelkos, I'll be happy with whatever I have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me. Fa'al yosim eliboy lachmoid ulis avois dobor she'ina shaloi. So why on earth would I covet something which is not mine? Ki yoidea sha'ashem loy rotza loses loy. That's what Eben Ezra says. I feel very, very similar in the Sfarnu. The Sfarnu says, Yieh hadovo etz lecha lenimna gomo. View that item as out of bounds for you. Totally out of bounds. What happens when you see someone who's out of bounds? I'll give you a silly moshel. Imagine one day I wake up to myself and think, you know what? Oh, I'd love to be the President of the United States. I wouldn't. But imagine I would. Then I realize, you know, something, there's a law. You can only be the President of the United States if you're born in America. I wasn't born in America. I no longer covet it. Why? It's not possible. Not shyer. It is not physically possible for me to be the President of the United States. Now, As long as I don't know that that law exists, what do I think to myself? Maybe I can read a present, maybe I can work it out, and I consume myself with jealousy and chemda and kinna and taivada. Once someone tells me, one second, there's no point coveting it. You will never ever be the president because you have to be American, and you weren't American. I once read the following story. I read it in a non-Jewish book, but I think it's a very, very powerful story. Probably a moshel, but maybe it happened. Two mountaineers were determined to scale the heights of the world's tallest mountain, Everest, and they plan their mission for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they know that they need the help of some Sherpa there from Tibet who's going to help them climb this enormous mountain. And finally the big day comes and they're ready to set off, and they know to climb Everest is not a day or two, it's weeks of climbing. And as they're climbing the mountain, they have very, very minimal provisions with them. And one of them says, "Whoa, what do I really do now for a juicy piece of steak? Whoa, I'm starving, hungry." The other one says, "Ah, steak? Nah, I don't want steak. I could do the juicy lamb chop, and I'd have it followed by roast potatoes." And the other says, "No, I would have tongue in it." And they carry the walk. "Oh, you know what? I'd have a glass of champagne," and this is going on, and each one describing what only he would do now for a piece of this and a cup of this. And he turned around to this Sherpa and said, "What about you?" "Fine, I'm hungry, fine." Amazing, not hungry. You think, wow, he's obviously built very, very strongly, he's just built differently. And they continue trudging up the mountain, and then they start all over again. "What I'd only do now for a delicious piece of fish, and what I'd only do now for a warm, hot thing, no, a cold ice cream," and they're going on. "What about you, the Sherpa?" "No, no." Finally they get to the top of the mountain, and waiting for them at the top of the mountain is a whole reception committee, and they've laid out mamish sudas shleima hamelech the shaito, a 10-course meal with whatever they like. Bosor v'dogim v'chol matamim. And they start tucking in the first and the second. They look at this Sherpa and they think, well, obviously he's not going to tuck in, and he's told us all the time he's not hungry. And they look at him and he's eating three times as much as they're eating. Like he's never seen food before. And they go up to him and they say, "I don't understand. We were going on and on about food and we asked you and you said, no, not interested." So he said to them, "There was no food there. There was no point being hungry." A tremendous Musa Haskell left. There was no food. There's no point having a big taiva for Eichel if it's not Shaykh. So why bother yourself and get all consumed that I would have this and I would have that and I would have something else and if only I could. There was no food there. If food would be available and with some tremendous effort you could get hold of food, I understand, I would go for this, I would go for that. There was no food, there's no point being hungry. That's what the Ibn Ezra is telling us. Loi sachmoid, what do you mean don't feel it? I feel jealous. No. If only you would view Eishes Re'echa like the princess to the villager, it's a sheikhus. It's not in my world. It's not in my world. If something's not in my world, I have no chemda for. If you think about it, what the Ibn Ezra is really teaching us is a dover omoik. It's a dover omoik. Because the Ibn Ezra is really teaching us that what is the yesoid of leisachmoid, in one word, emunah. If you only believe that my friend has what he needs and I have what I need, it's only based on emunah, then I can come to that realization that that has no shaykhus to me. If it did, I could have spoken, would have organized that I would have had it. The basis of leisachmoid is emunah b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If I don't firmly believe that he has what he needs and I have what I need, then when I see what he has, that's not beyond the realms of possibility for me. I could perhaps maneuver and manipulate and try and make sure that it comes to me. So it is shayach to me. Then I have a chemda. Well, then the Ibn Ezra's kasha comes back. How can you tell a person not to have a feeling? Don't cover it. I do. I'm hoping to have it. But if I have emunah, like he himself says, ki yodea shehashem lo yirotza lo ses loy, Just understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to give you that. And therefore, lo yuchal lekachta. You're not going to be able to take it. B'koychay u'b'machshavoysav v'tachbuloysav. You can plot and plan all day long. It's never going to come to you. But you can only tell that to somebody if he first has emuna b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I don't really have emuna, then what do you mean I can't take it b'koychay? Yeah, but he has it. Say it, maybe I can have it. So if I can only manipulate and work it out a good way of getting it, then I get hold of it. The yesod l'sachmoid is emunah b'kadosh baruch hu, which when you think about it, is a tremendous symmetry. So how does the Aseret HaDibros begin? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It begins with emunah. And how does it end up? Also with emunah. If you think about it more deeply, and we'll, this will perhaps discuss on another occasion, all of the Aseret HaDibros is based on emunah. Don't steal. Why shouldn't you steal? He's got it. Okay, why can't I have it? Teretz is to have a munah b'kadosh baruch hu, that his money is his, if I'm not going to steal it. Leisinoch, leisirtoch, Shabbos, they're all in yonim of emunah. But certainly we see that the Aseret HaDibros, the grand finale, leisachmoid is the understanding that what he has is, as far as I'm concerned, the princess to the villager. No shaykhus to me whatsoever. And something that has no shaykhus to me, I don't covet. I saw quoted, interestingly, that in Slobodka, in Yeshiva Slobodka, in the Moistus of Slobodka, they used to quote the Eben Ezra. And they used to say that actually we would have flipped the Moshel around completely. What is the Eben Ezra's Moshel? The villager doesn't covet the princess. Why? You know, out of the ballpark, it's no shaykhus to him. What they say in Slobodka is, we would have said the other way around. The princess doesn't covet the villager. Why doesn't she covet the villager? Because I'm a princess. There is a phrase in Yiddish, I don't know any translation in English, but you'll have to excuse me. Pasnish. The Ben Melech, the Bas Melech should marry a lowly villager? Uncultured, unkempt, uneducated peasant farmer? Pasnish! So in Slobodka they said, that's how we would learn, Leisachmoid! Klal Yisrael, B'nai Melochim. It's also a pasuk in the successor. Mamlechet Kohen of the Great Kodesh. I'm a Ben Melech. I'm not going to lower myself to take somebody else's things. As far as I'm concerned, do you know why I have to view that? So Ben Ezra says, view it upwards. I'm the lowly farmer, look at it like the princess. And Slobodka said, no, look at it downwards. I'm the Ben Melech. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to touch that. And maybe I wouldn't have a chemda for it. When I see some rotting food on the street, I've got no chemda for it whatsoever. Why not? Because it's despicable to me. So if you'd only view it as what? As far as I'm concerned, it's despicable. I'm a dignified human being. I'm not going to now scrabble around in the street for food. So maybe I have no chemda. That answers the question as well. How can you instruct somebody not to have the feeling? The answer is, you're right, you can't. But if the feeling is based on a certain type of understanding, which is an avodah, either in the opinion of an Eben Ezra, look at it upwards. You have no shaykhus, you're looking at a princess and you're a villager. Or as Slobodka said it, no, look downwards. You're the Ben Melech. What are you looking down at? Some lowly, despicable, something that doesn't belong to you, Bechlau? The Sas Emes also tackles this question. And he says very, very briefly, how can you have an instruction leisachmoid? So he says a completely different approach. Every person naturally has cheshek, taivos for olam hazeh. It's a natural thing. A person wants to eat. A person naturally wants to have food. It's a natural feeling. So he says, make sure you busy yourself with chukos. L'kayim Maimer Hashem. Divert and channel your tithes to Ruchnius. V'zois hachendo, tigvor, that will then overcome naturally neged kol hachendo yishabo'ilam. This is telling you it's not just a mind frame. The Ibn Ezra and Slobodka were saying that lois hachmut is a mind frame. It's the way you're looking at it. The Sfas Emes is telling you, no. There is an actual plan of action. The more you busy yourself with ruchnius, the less you will naturally have a chemda for ilm hazeh. It's automatic. There are different ways of explaining it. The Rambam famously writes at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia that people who have machshavos and taivas for aroyos are those who are devoid of all chokhmah and all Torah. The more you fill yourself up with Torah, then that's where my cheshek is. So I no longer have any taivas for other things. What's a skula? What's a magic trick? It's just a metzias. It's a natural reality. The Chovos Halvavos writes in one place slightly different. He says, try putting fire and water in one cup. It'll never work. He says, so too, a taiva for Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba will never work simultaneously. The more you fill yourself up with taivas for Olam Haba, taivas for Olam Hazeh, there's no space. I saw explained, the Ksav Kabbalah says, V'ohavto es Hashem Elokecho, b'chol levavacha. What does that mean with all your heart? He says, you know what it means? Fill up your heart with Avos Hashem. Don't have chatzi chatzi. Do you want to know how to go about the avodah of Lo Sachmoid? Busy yourself with Olam Haba. Busy yourself with Ruchnius, with Torah and Mitzvot. You will automatically have less of a chemda for Olam Hazeh. Finally, share with you the vort of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says a completely different approach. Imagine, says the Beis Halevi, you're walking down the street and you have a pachat. You have a fear. What do you have a fear of? You've got a constant phobia that somebody's about to come and attack you. And you're walking down the street scared stiff. All of a sudden, you didn't notice there was an ice patch on the street and you slipped. At that moment that you slipped, were you scared of the guy who was going to attack you? Completely forgot about it. Then you picked yourself up, and you dusted yourself down, and then the fear came back. So what happened when you slipped? At that moment, as the Beis Halevi explains, he says it's not a rational thing. But he says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been matbiya, it's a human nature that a certain has a pachad, and whilst he has that pachad and he's focused on that, then everything else just flitters away. Imagine the same moshel. Imagine, as he says, I'm walking down the street and I'm thinking, oh, what I would only give now for a good meal, and if only I can make $1 million, I'm thinking about all the taivos shaboila. And then you slip on the ice. What happens at that moment? During those 3 seconds that you slipped, the fear that was gripped, that you were gripped with, just all of a sudden just dispelled every other taiva you ever had. Says the Beis Halevi, therefore the whole question of the Ibn Ezra falls away. If the Torah says, Lo Yisachmoy, then you understand clearly that this is an Issa min HaTorah, then you should be gripped with such a pachad, with such a fear, that automatically you don't have taivas. Like slipping on the ice. It's a big avodah. So in summary, we have 4 different approaches over here. The Ibn Ezra asks, how can you instruct? Lo sachmoy, don't feel the feeling. I feel. It's a natural feeling to be coveting. The Ibn Ezra says, you're right, it's all a mindset. View it as a villager villages the princess. Totally beyond you. No shaykhus to you. All based on emunah. In Slobodka, they said the opposite. Look down at it. Fastnish, I'm a Ben Melech. The Sfasena says, fill yourself up with Ruchnius. The more you fill yourself up with Ruchnius, there's nothing left in the tank to be involved now with Gashmius. And the Beis Halevi says, if your mind was right and you had a proper pachad of being over an Issa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then automatically you'd be gripped with such a fear of being over this Issa that naturally you wouldn't have any taivas. And you wouldn't be over this Issa of Lo Sachmoid.